meeting on January 14th, 2016. Please raise for the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
All right, before we get started this evening, I'm going to turn the table over to Director Rich Teaser for a moment.
Thank you, Mr. Director. I thought it appropriate and fitting to acknowledge this evening that Director Tim Fowler is absent this evening because he and his family are in Washington, D.C., burying Tim's father in Arlington Cemetery. Tim's father was an Air Force colonel who flew B-52s and received the Distinguished Flying Cross in Vietnam. He was also involved in the first Titan II missile liftoff, and he will be dearly missed by his friends and family.
I knew him very well. I share your sentiments. Nice guy.
Thank you, Director Teaser. Certainly our thoughts and prayers are with Director Fowler and his family this evening. Moving on to agenda item number two, a copy of the Open Meetings Act, Nebraska Revised State Statute 84-1407 through 84-1414 is posted on the back wall of the meeting room. Prior to turning to the agenda for tonight's meeting, I would like to announce the procedures that will be used for this meeting. With respect to each agenda item, the directors will hear the subcommittee chairperson's report with their proposals and recommendations. Then the public will be given the opportunity to address the board chairperson. Lastly, the directors will discuss the item and take action. All questions and comments will be addressed to the board chair. We ask the public not interrupt the director's discussion or actions. Thank you. With that, quorum call, please.
Bonnet.
Present.
Fred Conley.
Here.
John Conley.
Here.
Fowler. Ross.
Here.
Yeah.
Yes.
Lady.
Here.
Caesar.
Here.
Paul.
Here.
Poodle. And
here, and we do have excused absence for Director Tim Fowler and Director Ron Whittle. Agenda item number four, adoption of the agenda.
So move. Second.
Motion second. Roll call, please.
Fred Conley.
Aye.
John Conley.
Yes.
Ross.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes.
Lady.
Yes.
Caesar.
Yes.
Thompson.
Yes.
Bonnet.
Yes.
Chairman. Yes. Agenda item five, adoption of the consent agenda.
So move.
Second.
Motion and second. Roll call.
John Conley.
Yes.
Ross.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No.
Lady.
Yes.
Caesar.
Yes.
Thompson.
Yes.
Bonnet.
Yes.
Fred Conley.
Aye.
Here. Yes. Agenda item six, I have the proof of publication, the affidavit that will become part of the permanent record of this meeting. Moving on to agenda item number eight, to agency and association reports and presentations, Natural Resources Conservation Service report, District Conservationist Neil Jensen. Good evening, Neil.
Good evening. I'm here in California or Florida or Tennessee. Splurged this time around. I bought three tickets.
Thank you.
No. I want to talk a little bit about, we're always encouraging farmers to stay in compliance for highly erodible land, wetland conservation. Probably real critical is the price of corn has gone down, but also the 2014 Farm Bill, they tied crop insurance as one of the payments subsidized. You don't get that subsidy of what cost you pay for. You still have property. You just pay for it. The other things that you lose out on is FSA loans, disaster programs, all the NRCS programs. We talked about the EQIP program, the CSP program, just not eligible, not highly erodible. And one of the ways to stay in compliance, if the producer wants to do some tree clearing, I take the fence out or something, what we ask them to do is fill out a highly erodible wetland. Do that through the Farm Service Agency, staff have about. Kind of goes into my next part. I wanted to add another page to say we have a person hired to help us with doing these ATL wetland provisions. He showed up on Monday, wet on Tuesday. So we're going to have to start over. This person was going to work out of West Point to help us in person. So that hiring process, I'm going to have to start all over. We also are looking at hiring a position in Dakota City. That announcement closed here last week. I've not heard yet or whether we've got any application. Human resources will go to all the applications. Evaluate on their eligible position. So hopefully in a month or two, another position that's player. So yeah, we're down. Hopefully.
Any questions? Will there be a winter equip sign up that you know
of? There's been no talk of it. I mean, October 16th was the sign up date. We've got about 90 applications for evaluating, right? We have to have completed this month. We'll be going ahead. I would say, based on the number of applications, all of those add up to.
Thanks, Neil. Moving on right along to 8B, Nebraska Association of Resource Districts, Director Rich Teaser.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chair. The NARD will be having their annual conference in Lincoln at the Embassy Suites on the 26th and 27th of this month. Directors Panette, Conley, Fowler, Klug, myself, Director Thompson, and Director Woodle, along with several staff members, have signed up to attend and look forward to a good conference. I conclude my report.
Thank you, Director Teaser. Moving on to 8C, a legislative report from Hush Blackwell. Good evening, Steve.
Okay. Well, today was the seventh day of the 104th legislative session. And I was there for the governor's state address this morning. And I think they had 3 days of half days of debate and just got the free bill. As you know, this is a 60-day session. Bill introduction is well underway for about halfway through that now. It will conclude on January 20th, which is committee hearings will begin on January 20th. There are a number of new bills that have been introduced through day six of the session. I'll go over some of those. The first one that's notable is LB 7-11. Basically, the reinstitution of the Riparian Vegetation Management Task Force did bring this bill was introduced by Senator Hughes, was referred to the National Resources Committee. The initial funding for this bill is aimed at river basins that are fully or over appropriated. Another bill of interest is LB 714, which deals with sufficient cause for non-use of water appropriations. Surface water users can lose their appropriations if they don't use them. This bill by Senator Stinner was referred to the Natural Resources Committee, and it would state that it would be sufficient cause for non-use if the appropriation is temporarily transferred to a natural resources district for aquifer recharge or in-stream flows. A bill that may be of some interest is LB 716 by Senator Kulowski. It was assigned to the Transportation Committee. It regulates pedestrians and bicycles at trail and road intersections. LB 728 is one that I think you're already familiar with. It authorizes electronic voting devices for natural resources districts was introduced by Senator Johnson and is in the Government Committee. A very similar bill, LB 876, was just introduced by Senator Moranti, but it applies to all public bodies, not just natural resources districts. LB 899 would change lead content provisions relating to the Nebraska Safe Drinking Water Act. That was introduced by Senator Baker and is in the Health and Human Services Committee. There are a couple of constitutional amendments of interest. LR 378 CA would guarantee the right to engage in certain farming and ranching practices. It was introduced by Senator Kuhn and is in the Ag Committee. It would require the state to have a compelling state interest before they could restrict agricultural technology and livestock production practices. Another constitutional amendment is LR 380 CA. It would change the distribution of state lottery proceeds. It was introduced by Senator Bloomfield and is in the General Affairs Committee. They divvy up the state lottery proceeds among the Environmental Trust, Education, Compulsive Gambling Assistance. This would reduce the Environmental Trust share from 44% to 26%, and it would increase the percentage going to fund education. The most significant carryover bill for us is LB 344. It would provide authority for general obligation bonds for natural resources districts all across the state. That's Senator Kulowski's bill. It remains in the Natural Resources Committee, and we are working closely with Senator Kulowski and staff on that bill, as well as some potential amendments. I thought maybe we'd just review who's on the Natural Resources Committee, since that is our most important committee. The chair, Senator Shills, vice chair, Senator Friesen. Also on the committee are Senators Hughes, Johnson, Kulowski, Lindstrom, McAllister, and Schnur. Tim and Ron are both hard at work in the legislature, and in fact, they're at an event for the Speaker of the Legislature, Hadley, this evening. We thought it was more important that they go ahead and attend that event, and so I'm giving the report. Any questions?
Director Jeff. The breakfast I went to on Wednesday morning, the director for the Department of Natural Resources said there should be a bill coming out to rewrite the surface water. They're going to come up with a new category for surface water. Will that be coming out of the Natural Resource Committee? Or because he didn't know what state senator at this time was sponsoring it.
That would almost certainly go to the Natural Resources Committee. It has not been introduced yet, to my knowledge.
Yeah, I thought, check the data.
Yeah. So it's a surface water appropriation category?
Yeah.
Are you tracking Senator Crawford's bills regarding the levies around the state?
Well, yeah, as far as any new bills that are going to be introduced, you mean?
I understand you've been introduced or is it's two new bills.
Yeah, we'll be closely watching those. We're also working with the governor's office to follow through on the applications that this district has submitted to make sure that they get fair and thorough consideration and that they understand the importance of those to office. I do not have copies of Senator Crawford's bills yet, though.
Director Thompson.
Did I hear that correctly on LR 380? They want to reduce environmental trust from 44 to 26?
As a percentage of the lottery proceeds. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Now, I helped out this past week more than Neil did, not much more. But I hope that doesn't have a snowball's chance. But
I would be surprised, although, of course, education is a pretty powerful interest, but I would be surprised if it was successful. The environmental trust is pretty well received.
All right, thanks.
Thank you, Steve. All right, moving on to 8D, we have a written report from Megan Sittler and the Lower Platte River Corridor Alliance. So moving on to agenda item 9 is the public input on the Papua Missouri River NRD multi-jurisdictional hazard mitigation plan. Lori Laster. Good evening.
Good evening. I would like to introduce, this is Becky Appleford with JDO Consulting Group. Just a little refresher. The district coordinates a multi-jurisdictional hazard mitigation plan within our boundaries. It makes sense to pull together the data. A lot of The upfront data is very similar across our counties, so it serves to conserve resources within each jurisdiction. But we do have to update that plan every 5 years. Our next update is due to be completed in September of this year. And so we got a planning grant from FEMA through the pre-disaster mitigation program to do the update in the planning. Through consultant selection process, you guys chose JEO to help us with that update. So Becky is going to go through a little bit of what we found. We're at the end of the planning process. The draft document is out and available for review. And as soon as we get some public comments back, we close that period, which is January 25th. We'll work on finalizing that draft and submitting to FEMA for final review.
Thank you, Lori. I am Becky Appleford. I am the project coordinator for this hazard mitigation plan. I just want to start out by saying it's been a pleasure working on this plan and working with Lori. There are a lot of great citizens here in the NRD, and it's really been a pleasure. So I just want to take a few minutes of your time to tell you more about this plan, what has happened over the last basically 12 months, and what to expect over the next few months leading up to the approval process. So to start off with the project schedule, we did kick off last February with a kickoff meeting that was held for the regional planning team members. We had representatives from all six counties and also a few communities participate as a regional planning team. They kind of help guide that planning process. We discussed plan goals and objectives, how often we were going to meet, where we were going to meet, and so forth. And then we followed that up with the hazard mitigation planning workshop. This was the first time that this workshop has been done for this planning process. We felt it was important to set the foundation for the planning process and for the participants and representatives in this planning process to get a better understanding of what is hazard mitigation. Why are we here? Why is it important? And what to expect over the coming months? We did start off that workshop with a tabletop scenario where we had a tornado, essentially. We told them that, okay, a tornado is coming to your community. You have a tornado warning. What do you do? Who do you notify? Who are your vulnerable populations? What do you do prior to being prepared in advance of this tornado? And in this scenario, thankfully, the tornado missed the community. But then we had a discussion about, okay, what mitigation projects or actions could you have taken prior to that tornado coming to your community to be more prepared, to be more resilient? And that discussion really fostered a lot of good ideas and to lay that foundation for hazard mitigation and what to expect and to apply those principles of hazard mitigation for the next few months. We did have 26 attendees. We filled the room representing 18 jurisdictions. It was a great turnout. So moving on, we had six round one public meetings in late April and early May that really started off that planning process, meeting with all of those jurisdictions. And we really set a planning process that would work for everyone, from your small communities to your larger communities to the counties and even school districts. And that meeting format, we had the large public meetings where many people did attend. But we did also have jurisdictions that, for whatever reason, couldn't attend those public meetings. For instance, we had one smaller community. The village clerk, she worked a normal 8-to-5 job and couldn't attend that meeting. So I said, that's fine. We'll do a conference call. We'll talk at 6:30 on Tuesday night. And we went through the information, same information that we did in all of those public meetings, and we were able to get that information into the plan. As Lori mentioned, we are in a public review process for this plan. It is out on our website at jeo.com. We've had 16 jurisdictions send me comments and changes. They've all been very minor to this point. But we'll continue to take those through January 25th, at which point all of those changes will be incorporated and we'll send that off to FEMA. And I'll talk a bit more about that in a minute. But that level of participation, I think, really was increased due to that ability to be flexible with the meeting format. We had 37 participants that ranged from county level down to your village and school districts. And that is an eight more participants increase from the 2011 plan. Added communities included Thurston County, Bennington, Takema, Arlington, Herman, Homer, and Winnebago, plus some additional school districts. So it was a really great increase and very pleased with the outcome. And I know this table is really hard to see, but I just wanted to give you a sense of who participated in the 2011 plan versus who participated in this current plan. So we did have a couple of school districts drop out. That's not unusual, but we also added several more. And along with those other communities I've just mentioned, all six counties saw an increase in participation, which is what we aim for. Real briefly, what are those goals and objectives that we aim for in this plan? Well, to be more resilient is the overarching goal, but also to protect and have a more secure public during all these hazards. Second goal, reduce or prevent future damage to critical facilities and infrastructure. Reduce or prevent future damage to existing properties and natural resources, and to promote efficient use of public funds. So getting to those hazards that we did identify in the plan and discuss with the communities and that they identified as top concerns, we did stick with all the original hazards that were in the 2011 plan, but we also added some new ones to this 2016 plan. Two reasons for that. One, to be more in line with the 2014 State Hazard Mitigation Plan, which is what NEMA likes to see. And two, many of the communities identified these newly added hazards as a concern, especially your chemical transportation. We have many communities along railroads that they're concerned with what's being transported along those railroad lines. So we did have those discussions related to those hazards. Again, another table with the same hazards outlined for you, all 20 of them, but you'll see a breakdown for the total property loss, historic property loss, as well as total historic crop loss based on these 20 hazards. And I just want to point out those kind of top three, if you were to rank them based on property loss over the last 20 years or so, that would be your severe thunderstorms, your hail, and your flooding. And that's exactly what we would expect for this region of the United States. We see that quite frequently, and unfortunately, it does impact our communities. Also, another feature of this plan that we also was also done, in the 2011 plan was utilizing HAZUS data. HAZUS stands for Hazards United States. It is a software program that integrates with Geographic Information Systems, which is a mapping software, and it has the ability to analyze different types of data. It's put out by FEMA and provided by FEMA. And so we did a flooding scenario for a 1% annual chance flood across the NRD, and it provides you, as you can see here, a wide range of economic losses for this example here. You know, your building damage, contents damage, relocation costs or loss. So it gives, especially emergency managers and the NRD, a great idea of what to expect in that 1% annual chance flood scenario. The next table is a bit more of a summary. It also provides you an idea of how many people would be displaced in the event of a flood and how many people might need shelter for a short-term flooding situation. So what to expect over the next few weeks to months? We are still taking those comments through January 25th, about 10 more days, and at which point we'll finalize all those comments and changes into the plan. We'll submit it to NEMA and to FEMA for their approval pending local adoption. We anticipate that process. It could take a couple months, but we're hoping for spring of 2016 somewhere in there. And once FEMA notifies us of that approval, we then come back to the jurisdictions and say, okay, it's time to adopt the plan for a resolution so it becomes your plan. And at that point, they can then go after grant funds and implement those mitigation projects. And that's kind of the goal here. The time frame for this is really great because those federal grant programs open up in the summer, and we'll be ahead of schedule of that September 2016 expiration date of the plan. So with that, do you have any questions?
Dr. Jeff?
My work with the 11 flood in Blair, fortunately the governor was very cooperative, but we had to go through the governor. Is there any way that the question is, we had to bring in a lot of large equipment very quickly. We couldn't get times to get transportation to get permits to get things here. And basically the state patrol was a hindrance in this situation. Again, fortunately, Governor Heineman stepped in on behalf of everybody. Is there any protocols so that the hindrance of state patrol and things can get notification what we're doing instead of me getting a phone call at midnight with a truck stopped in Scotts Bluff, Nebraska, trying to get to Blair?
Right. That's a great point. Unfortunately, that is not covered in the plan, and the reason for that is the hazard mitigation planning is more of a proactive situation. What ways can the city of Blair, what projects could they implement to reduce that flooding at the local level? Unfortunately, how the state runs and brings in these, you know, the permitting process and everything is above and beyond the scope of this plan. I would certainly talk with your emergency managers continue that conversation at that level.
Well, in the case I was involved with was not a government municipality. It was the Cargill facility, so we're talking businesses.
Okay.
You know, and just like other businesses across the river, for example, we were working with people with the Bungie plant down in Constable, had similar problems.
Okay. Yeah, unfortunately, it goes above and beyond the scope of the plan at this point.
Director Leahy, then we'll get to Director Bond.
Mr. Chairman, I've got a few questions and just a request. But first off, great work. It sounds like everything has been going very professionally, efficiently, and smoothly. So the link to get the public comments on JEO's website, do we have a link of that on our website? And can we get something?
Not yet, but we can get it there.
Even if it just directs to JEO's, something like that. And then was there a press release that I missed that says, hey, this is up for public comment?
No, we'll probably come after this meeting.
Yeah, I'll make sure to get some language to Emmett, and then, but it has been on Facebook as well, so.
Okay.
And I'll get it, make sure that gets posted once more
and
before the
share with the directors just so we can.
Yeah.
Yep.
But on the website, are we able to see who attended the meetings? I see we know the jurisdictions, but like who at the jurisdictions is
specific people that
yeah,
attended?
How do we get that?
Sure, that is actually within the plan itself. It's a requirement of FEMA's to know exactly who attended. So the entire document is available on our website. Please feel free to go through that. We don't have the sign-in sheets, the appendices attached to that document, but I do have tables typed out of all participant members. Okay. So.
And then once we get to the point where it's done, it's finalized, approved, and jurisdictions need to implement it, is it just sort of on their prerogative to do that, or do we push it, or is there sort of an enforcement, like, we're going to get this plan in action, we need you to apply for these grants that accomplish these outcomes or these goals, or is it just sort of, you know what to do, now go and do it, and we hope that they do it because it's the right thing to do?
Right. So we definitely, I mean, the projects in the plan come from the communities. We don't tell them what to do, what needs to be done. Those are projects that they bring forward that they would like to see done. You know, there are definitely going to be some communities that say, yeah, you know, we're going to do this regardless if we get federal funding or not. And then there's other projects that are maybe kind of pie in the sky. And, well, yeah, if I'm getting 75% from FEMA, I'm going to do it. But if I don't get that money, I'm not going to. You know, certainly we would encourage that they try to implement some of these projects. And we do work with some communities on cost share for the local 25% match, especially with flooding. But The hazard mitigation plans are just a little, you know, like we wouldn't necessarily cost share on something to address a chemical, you know, accident. That's not really within the scope of what the NRD does. But we, you know, we definitely would encourage them to do what they need to do.
A suggestion, and you guys can all work out if it makes sense, is just like we push out, hey, our grants are available for, like, urban cost share programs, like, mm-hmm. once a year. I mean, if we have these jurisdictions, their email addresses, maybe once a year that the FEMA grants come open, just sort of resend out. Remember what we agreed to do. These grants have come open, and if we just do that once a year for the next 5 years, it's a little push to get us to the next time that we re-up the plan.
And we do work with communities. We have one that's kind of in the works right now with the Village of Arlington that this is kind of lining up that they may be applying for some funds next year, and you know, and we're working with them. And so, and we, you know, we work with these communities on a daily basis, and we know what projects they're thinking about in the long term and the short term. And so, I definitely, you know, if I know funding is available, I'll contact people to make sure that they know this is coming up, and let's try to get this funding.
Excellent. One last thing. At the April 7th meeting, you sort of did an exercise, just like tabletop. Tornado happens. What do we all do? What's are there going to be any more of those kinds of tabletop exercises? I see like a great value of getting certain stakeholders together to say, if we have a flood at one area of the Papio NRD, do we all know where the staging area would be? Which responsibility is who? Is that going to be a part of this plan after it gets approved and forward, or what's the...
Some of the communities and counties, especially at the county level, did identify that as a mitigation project. So, yes, I absolutely encourage that. Emergency managers are a great resource for that. And to be able to bring those stakeholders, as you mentioned, together and to have that plan ahead of time, it's really ideal.
And we do periodically participate in those, especially with the Department of Natural Resources, in the event of a dam failure, they have to do a certain number of those exercises. So, you know, it's not something we do every year. Maybe, you know, maybe that's something we could look at in the future, but that is something that most local jurisdictions participate in.
Thank you.
Dr. Bond.
I'd just like to first say a thank you to JEO. I think you guys did a wonderful job so far. The meetings were timely, professional. Really appreciated attending those meetings, participating. Since you brought up the tornado issue, I was quite surprised at some of the collaboration that was going on with some of the municipalities. One thing that surprised me was the fact that smaller towns were using these tornado sirens as a alert their volunteer fire department. So anytime there's a fire, they're using tornado sirens to tell everybody where to go. Whatever came of did you guys come up with any conclusions as to how to fix that situation?
No, and unfortunately, I think that's it works for them. And it's my understanding that they do have different tones to delineate between.
Kind of wobbling it.
Yeah. There are other modes of communication with their community members. They do offer reverse 911 or that code red alert to their phones for a notification.
All right, any further questions? Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Moving right along to agenda item 10, subcommittee reports. 10A is the Personnel, Legislative, and Public Affairs Subcommittee. Director Fred Conley.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Be it resolved that the minutes of the January 12, 2016 meeting of the Personnel, Legislative, and Public Affairs Subcommittee are accepted, incorporated in these minutes, and the following recommendation of the subcommittee are hereby adopted and approved. 1. PMRD Affirmative Action Policy for 2016. It is recommended that the Papio Missouri River NRD Affirmative Action Policy 2016 be adopted and incorporated in the district policy manual as Appendix W. to speak to this item? Director? Yes, nobody.
All right, we have a motion on the table. Going for round two. Is there anybody from the public who wishes to speak?
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Oh, no one you were looking at.
Staff or directors? Seeing none, roll call on the motion.
Yeah. Leahy.
Yes.
Caesar.
Yes.
Thompson.
Yes.
Bonnet.
Yes.
Fred Conley.
Aye.
John Conley.
Yes.
Chairperson.
Yes. No. Thank you, Director Conley. Moving on to 10B, Programs, Projects, and Operations Subcommittee, Director John Conley.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Be it resolved that the minutes of the January 12, 2016 meeting of the Programs, Projects, and Operations Subcommittee are accepted, incorporated in these minutes, and the following recommendations of the subcommittee are hereby adopted and approved. Number one, contract amendment with HDR Engineering for design services at Rumsey West Wetland Mitigation Bank. Subcommittee recommends the general manager be authorized to execute the contract amendment with HDR Engineering, Inc. in amount not to exceed $75,737 for Rumsey West Wetland Design, bringing the contract total not to exceed $170,606, subject to changes deemed necessary by the general manager, approved as performed by district legal counsel, and I so move.
We have a motion on the table. Is there anybody from the public that wishes to speak to this item? Staff or directors? Seeing none, roll call on the motion.
Yeah.
Yes.
Lady.
Yes.
Caesar.
Yes.
Thompson.
Yes.
Lawrence.
Yes.
Fred Conley.
Aye.
John Conley.
Yes.
Ross.
Yeah.
Chairperson.
Yes.
Item two is Big Papio Creek Levee Culverts Project. Subcommittee recommends that general manager be authorized to reject all December 29, 2015 bids for the construction of the Big Papio Levee Culverts Project and rebid the project, and I so move.
Motion on the table. Is there anybody from the public that wishes to speak to this item? Staff? More directors? Seeing none, roll call on the motion, please.
Leahy.
Yes.
Caesar.
Yes.
Thompson.
Yes.
Bonnet.
Yes.
Fred Conley.
Aye.
John Conley.
Yes.
Ross.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Abstain.
And Chairperson.
Yes.
Item three is Little Papillion Creek Channel Stabilization Project. It's recommended that the general manager be authorized to execute a contract with Bayshore Contractors, LLC, in the amount of $173,780 for construction of the Little Papillion Creek Channel Stabilization Project, subject to changes deemed necessary by the general manager and approved as informed by district legal counsel, and I so move.
Once again, we have a motion on the table. Is there anybody from the public that wishes to speak to this item? Staff or directors? Seeing none, roll call on the motion.
Caesar.
Yeah.
Thompson.
Yes.
Bonnet.
Yes.
Fred Conley.
Aye.
John Conley.
Yes.
Roth.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes.
Leahy.
Yes.
Chairperson.
Yes.
Item 4A is construction bid opening. Recommended that upon acquisition of the necessary rights away, the general manager be authorized to execute a contract with Neuhauer.
Neuhauer.
Pronounce it for me, would somebody?
Neuhauer.
Thank you. For the construction of the Elkhorn River 240th Street Bank Stabilization Project, with the total bid amount, including the alternate, of $399,625.90, subject to changes deemed necessary by the general manager and approved as deformed by district legal counsel, and I so move.
Yeah, we have a motion on the table for agenda item 4A. Is there anybody from the public who wants to speak to this item? Staff or directors? Seeing none, roll call on the motion.
Thompson.
Yes.
Bonnet.
Yes.
Fred Conley.
Aye.
John Conley.
Yes.
Ross.
No.
Yeah.
No.
Leahy.
Yes.
Peter.
Yes.
Chairperson.
Yes.
The next item is item 4B, right-of-way acquisition. Subcommittee recommends that the general manager be authorized to accept the counteroffer proposed by the State of Nebraska Board of Educational Lands and Funds Management for the Elkhorn River 240th Street Bank Stabilization Projects Track 2 in the amount of $85,250 for a channel easement containing an area of 4.287 acres, subject to terms and conditions deemed necessary by the general manager and approved as a form by district legal counsel. And I so move.
We have a motion on the table for agenda item 4B. Is there anybody from the public that wishes to speak to this item? Staff or directors, before we go to open up the floor, I want to check with legal counsel to see if you feel there's any need to go to executive session for this discussion.
Mr. Chairman, it would depend on if we're going to discuss specifics on acquisition of property, then I would recommend we go to executive session if it's, if there could be a number of questions. Don't require that, especially if it's just discussion of the project as a whole.
Okay.
I move that we go into
second. For the purpose of?
I've got a number of questions.
I didn't hear that. Could you repeat?
I have a number of questions, Mr. Chairman, that I don't want to ask in public of our legal counsel regarding the acquisition and the price.
All right, so we have a motion and a second to go to an executive session to discuss the acquisition of the right-of-way. Roll call on the motion. We go to executive session.
Bonnet?
Yes.
Fred Conley?
Aye.
John Conley?
No.
Ross?
Yeah.
Jeff?
Yes.
Leahy?
Yes.
Caesar?
No.
Thompson?
No.
Jefferson?
No.
5-8-4-9.
Going to executive session.
Second.
Now we have a motion by Director Thompson and a second by Director Teaser to come out of executive session. Roll call on the motion, please.
Fred Conley.
Aye.
John Conley.
Yes.
Ross.
Yeah.
Jeff.
Yes.
Leahy.
Yes.
Teaser.
Yes.
Thompson.
Yes.
Bonnet.
Yes.
Jefferson.
Yes. All right, we are now out of executive session. Director Jeff, just out of curiosity, when you went to talk to Mr. Endicott to inquire about the potential selling of that land, what was your intent behind it?
To get information, because I believe that we were misinformed on Tuesday night, which Mr. Endicott indicated that we were.
And the information, how would that benefit the district or the district's constituents?
I just wanted to know what information I was provided was the truth. Well, I found out differently.
Can I ask a question?
Are you saying that Mr. Endicott has implicated the district in providing him with inaccurate or misstating that the staff misinformed the board?
Mr. Endicott had
no... Did he
no,
make that allegation?
He had no indication what Ms. Marlin said to the board, nor did I tell him what Marlin said to the board.
Director Teaser?
Why did you go there in the first place, then? What prompted you to go see him, and why would you interject and ask a question about buying the entire property?
Because I've not provided information at these board meetings nor any other way, so I have to find other sources to get information.
Oh, bullshit. Quote me on that, would you please?
Just to clarify the record, the approach to Mr. Endicott and his organization was to acquire an easement. It was never to purchase the property. If, in fact, that came up in the conversation, again, you have to have an interested party to enter into a discussion on purchasing. Even if the land and trust indicated that they were willing to sell the property, we, in fact, have no operational or logical need for that property. So, in fact, we would not have engaged in a conversation to purchase it. We may, in fact, have discussed it, but it's not an option. And so that is the confusion. So Mr. Endicott, regardless if he wanted to sell it or continues to want to sell it, we are not interested in buying. What you have in front of you is an agreement to purchase right-of-way to construct the project. Period. So the whole discussion of buying it was never a discussion. It might have been a side note to, hey, are you willing to sell it? Okay, well, that maybe is part of the discussion, but there was never any interest or any intent to buy it. So no one was misinformed, at least in my opinion.
I think that's fair. With your responsibility as a director on this board, Director Japp, do you feel that you were going to talk to Mr. Endicott for the best interest of completing this project, which both the district and Sarpy County feel is necessary for the best interest of the citizens that they represent?
When I talked to them, it had nothing to do with hindering the project.
Did it help progress the project?
I think so. I think because I'm going to make when we get that discussion here, I'm going to make a motion that we buy the entire piece.
Which is beneficial to the district or its constituents, how?
Well, as a concern that Mr. Bonnet was making up, it's future erosion. We could lease it out for hunting. We could do many things with it.
Can I perhaps supply some financials?
Please do. The Bureau of Land Funds just executed a lease for $1,000 a year. The purchase price would be roughly $200,000. Let's say we got a discount of Mr. Jeff's negotiation for $150,000. It would take us nearly 150 to 200 years to recuperate the taxpayers' investment in an island in the middle of the Elkhorn River. So the board, I don't say that's a very good business decision, let alone a good decision for a governmental body to make. So that's the financials on that option. If, in fact, Mr. Jeff wants to make it.
I defer to Director Thompson.
Director Thompson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Director Japp, I'm surprised you haven't learned your lesson. When you interfere with our acquisition of land, it's pretty sad, it's unfortunate, and it's stupid. You have this notion you were misinformed. You were here Tuesday. Marlon gave a too lengthy discussion about why we're buying this, and you go off on your crazy way and think, oh, I think I want to buy more land. Why don't we buy it all? Matter of fact, Director Frost asked a question which was legitimately answered, reinforced tonight by General Manager. We don't need the land. We're not going to spend roughly $200,000. I don't care what it is. We don't need the land. Why on God's green earth here do you continue to waste our time? I've never met Mr. Endicott, but you reproach him thinking that, well, the NRD wants this stuff. Will you just stop it? Because it's not doing us as an association of natural districts any good. It's whatever pet peeve you're carrying, and knock it off. By now, I think you would have, we're buying whatever it is for a particular price that's been duly negotiated and duly presented to the full board. I don't get it. And I don't know who you're proud of or who's proud of you for stirring up the pot like this, but for God's sakes, will you learn? Will you just learn for the sake of staff and the rest of this board that we carry on our business in a proper manner without your interference?
Director Conley, John.
I would just echo Director Thompson's comments. I feel the same way.
Director Teaser.
Director Japp, every time the river comes up, this property is basically a low sandbar. It becomes inundated. It's willows and cottonwoods, smaller ones. This is ridiculous. This island could very well erode away in an ice event. It could just disappear. And what you're asking us to pay good money for something we don't need, that we have no access to, the public would have no access to it. Via vehicle, ridiculous, absolutely ridiculous. I've said enough.
Any further comments from directors? All right, seeing none, roll call on the motion.
John Conley.
Yes.
Frost.
No.
Yeah.
No.
Leahy.
Yes.
Caesar.
Yes.
Thompson.
Yes.
Bonnet.
Yes.
Fred Conley.
Hi.
Chairperson.
Yes.
That completes my report.
Thank you, Director Conley. Now moving on to agenda item 11, the Treasurer's Report. Once again, Director John Conley.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The Treasurer's Report consists of items A through I inclusive, and I move their approval.
Second. All right, we have a motion and a second on the table for the Treasurer's Report. Any comments from the public on this item? Staff or directors? Seeing none, roll call on the motion.
Frost.
Yeah.
Japp.
No.
Leahy.
Yes.
Caesar.
Yes.
Thompson.
Yes.
Bonnet.
Yes.
Fred Conley.
Aye.
John Conley.
Yes.
Chairperson.
Yes.
That completes our report.
Thank you, Director Conley. Agenda item 12, legal update. David Newman, Hush Blackwell.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just a couple updates on the four cases pending with Fort Calhoun. There's a mediation held last week, and it appears we do have resolution on those cases. We are working through the details, and we'll have a presentation for the board at its next meeting. In the Camden condemnation matter, Mr. Camden did appeal that matter, so it is now pending before the district court, and that will go to ultimately to a jury trial. We're waiting for him to file his petition as the next step in that process. That's all I have.
So you're anticipating 6 months with John Camden, or before there will be a trial, or will it probably be longer?
Before we get to trial, it's highly dependent on the issues that are presented in his petition, but I would estimate between 6 and 9 months.
So. Other questions? Thank you, Mr. Newman. Agenda item 13, Chairperson's Report. Nothing too much, just looking forward to seeing all of you that are heading down to the legislative conference on the 26th and 27th. See you there and to go through those items that are pending. Move on, let's see. Yep. Okay, and we do have agenda item 13A, take from the table. And consideration of amendments to the district's policies proposed at the Board of Directors meeting on December 10th, 2015. Policy 15.4, purchasing, emergency purchasing authority, and policy 15.8, purchasing for performance bonds.
I believe we need a motion on that, don't we?
Yes.
I move we take it off the table.
Motion by Director Thompson, seconded by Director John Conley. Is there anybody from the public who wishes to speak to this item? Staff or directors? Seeing none, roll call on the motion.
Yes.
Yes.
Leahy.
Yes.
Caesar.
Yes.
Thompson.
Yes.
Bonnet.
Yes.
Brett Conley.
Aye.
John Conley.
Yes.
Ross.
Yes.
Chairperson.
Yes. And the vote on the. And then the
motion for approval.
Motion for approval will be resolved that such statements are hereby adopted and incorporated into the district's policy manual 15.4 and 15.8.
So moved.
Second.
We have a motion to sing on the table. Anybody from the public wish to speak to this item? Staff or directors? Roll call on that motion.
Leahy.
Yes.
Caesar.
Yes.
Thompson.
Yes.
Bonnet.
Yes.
Fred Conley.
Aye.
John Conley.
Yes.
Ross.
No.
Yeah.
No.
Luke.
Yes. Agenda item 11B, appointment of ad hoc consultant selection subcommittee for the Zirinsky Water Quality Basin No. 2 Project Professional Services. We have Richard Teaser as the chairperson, John Conley vice chair, Patrick Bonnet, Patrick Leahy, Ron Woodle, and Fred Conley as alternate. Be it resolved, the ad hoc subcommittee appointments are presented by the chairperson are hereby approved. And I so move.
Second.
Motion sent by somebody. Is anybody from the public that wishes to speak to this item? Staff or directors? Director Leahy.
Yeah, is there a meeting set, a date set up for that meeting? Yeah.
Amanda?
The dates would be March 3rd would be interviews. So proposals will be due February 4th, and I'll get those to the ad hoc subcommittee immediately. And then at the February subcommittee meeting that night would be where we would choose the firms to interview. Interviews would be March 3rd, and then the April board meeting would be the contract with the selected consultant.
RFPs are due the 4th of February?
February, yeah, kind of.
I'm just going to maybe just go ahead and use myself on this just because of my work travel schedule right now. Just in a point where I may not be able to make it. Maybe as an alternate I can. I land that evening, so I mean, if we started later, I probably could make it, but I just don't want to.
Are you amending the motion to move you down as alternate?
And move Fred Conley up?
Yes. I'll second that motion.
I guess the question, do you even have to do that if he doesn't? Here tonight,
Yeah,
well, maybe just
I withdraw my motion.
Well, my motion is maybe take me off completely to put Fred on there in a different alternate so you don't even have to worry about me. I mean, it looks like I won't be able to attend, so why even have me on there?
Okay. All right, so we have a motion to remove Director Bonnet. Sorry, Director Bonnet. Insert Fred Conley. And let's see. Mr. Butler. Yeah, and we'll put
procedural question. I don't recall us voting on selection of subcommittees like this before. I thought the chairman just appointed them, and that's the way life works. Well,
we'd already made the motion, though.
I know, but I think it's a practice. It's I'm just been to the. you are. Is there a purpose for doing that?
I don't think we have to. You can just assign it.
I don't think we have to even vote on it.
Fair enough. Scratch the motion, as well as Patrick Leahy. And we'll put Tim Fowler in as the alternate. And Fred's out there. As much. All right. And that completes my discombobulated report. Agenda item 14, General Manager's Report.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I hope so. The December 2015 Education and Information Report is attached for review. Chuck Wiegand has been hired as a district land steward. Chuck started with the district in April of 15 as a summer groundskeeper. He began working in the part-time position on January 4th, so we're happy to have Chuck around longer than normal. The Nebraska Department of Environmental Quality has awarded the district $8,000 from the Litter Reduction and Recycling Grant Program. We're going to use the funds to organize a series of electronic waste collections at NRD field offices. So good job to Terry and his staff up there. The district received a letter from Eileen Kingston. She's the Associate Director of Patient Care from the Veterans Administration, thanking Randy Lee and the staff at Chaco Hills for the use of our meeting facilities and making them obviously feel at home. Report on purchases, construction services, professional services, and personal property for December is attached for your review, as well as the current and ongoing project with the district legal counsel. The Watershed Partnership Report, the December meeting was canceled, and the next meeting is January 28th of 16. The Water Sustainability Fund application contract tasked with fire engineering, those were completed on time and forwarded to the Department of Natural Resources for review. So we made the deadline. We were assigned a application number, so we know they received them. As stated by Mr. Graz, we have been in communication with the governor's office and the director of the DNR, as well as the chairman of the Natural Resource Commission, on the application, its importance, and our priorities in regards to those applications that we submitted. As part of that, the task to complete the applications for the levies and for WP 6 and 7 were both overestimated amounts in the fire engineering contract. We did provide letters and an explanation on the overrun. Neither contract is being recommended to be amended, and we're hoping to mitigate some of those costs within the overall contract. So just to let you know that process was way longer and more intense than we anticipated. Remember, it is a new process. It's a new fund. It's a new application. We were very careful to make sure that we provided probably more than enough information because of the importance of the applications. We didn't want to be hung up on a technicality that either there wasn't enough information or we missed a period or a comma somewhere and then got thrown out. So I know fire and staff spent a tremendous amount of time all the way through Christmas. It was due December 30th application. So I know there was some heartache getting that completed, but so if we need more specifics, if that does come back as an amendment to a contract, Mike Sotak and his team can be here to explain exactly what those details were. I'm guessing in future years it'll be a lot smoother because we know the process now. We know what they need for the application, and we have some experience, so that will help. Also, Elkhorn River 240 Street Bank Stabilization Project, consult service for fire engineering. We did receive a notification. Recent design changes along with the addition of new specifications project may potentially exceed the total contract amount. Fire has withheld around $13,699 from submitted invoices on completed phase of the project in order to relieve the remaining budget dollars for construction. And again, they provided another letter for that, so we're just notifying the board that these may come up in the future for either votes to amend the contracts. News clips and everything. Just note, I think it was successful. We're looking for feedback. We eliminated a lot of the paper in the books. All the information is online. You can access that. We are a paperless environment, so we thought maybe we'd try to get back to a little bit of that semblance. We did have a project managers meeting in December, and very good conversation. We had all the project managers. We kind of got off site and talked about processes of not only assembling the agenda and when those things were due, but just the general operation of the district. For example, the website, we have a meeting. We're going to maybe reformulate that and get some of the old information off, make it more user-friendly. We also talked about file storage and also the use of the system where we can access all of our files from off-site. Reason for that, bad weather, illnesses, natural disaster, where we've got the ability to remotely access all of our files here at the building if we're anywhere in the country or the world, quite frankly. And so Bill's working on that with Mike, and then we formulated a committee of different staff to help kind of guide that where that's going to go. And that was one of the suggestions that came out of that meeting. So we're trying to get more efficient, more effective in our workings. Patrick.
Great job, long overdue on some of that stuff.
Yeah.
When you make the changes, will that perhaps allow the briefings to get to us maybe a little sooner? Given the day or two, I think we get it Friday before. Or something.
Yeah, I think that the timeline will stay, and Gene's going to be able to. What it will do is, I think what we're attempting to do is, it got to the point where we're getting a lot of things that were just at the last minute, and so we're trying to streamline that. We've got ample time to get all the information together. Now, if we can improve the time, that may be down the road, but this month did improve from previous months. We got everything in on time, and so it's more of a internal operational type of thing. I'm still drafting it. I'm still bouncing off some ideas, but I told the staff, and I've been working on this for a while, we're going to attempt, and with approval of the board, attempt to implement a efficiency program. And I had success with that when I was at the city of Plattsmouth, and I know the military uses it as well. It's kind of where I borrowed it. But it opens up the employees because they're the ones that know their process and their job better than anyone else. And so it's difficult for me to look at the O&M guys and say, you should do this differently. So what this program will do is it allows employees to make suggestions of it's anything from how we change oil to how we apply rock, where we purchase anything. It allows them to submit ideas of how we can do it better and save money. As part of that, if in fact that new process or that new technique does in fact save money, they can share somehow in that savings. Now, and that's what we have to work on as far as public employees. Everybody's got different rules of is it can you give them a bonus or is there some other, is it time off, is there other reward that they can that we can legally give them to reward that type of thinking? And so you can see with our overtime, we've reduced that dramatically. And I know that everybody else has some other ideas as well. So it'd be nice to formalize something that they could take advantage of. So that will be coming here in the next future, in the next few months, hopefully. But at least it's the grand idea. So any other questions, Rich?
A while back, tonight you mentioned the electronic recycling.
Right.
And a while back, many, many months ago, I had a constituent call and asked about the tire recycling. Is that only done in Washington County or?
No. Well, right now, and Terry Schumacher's back there smiling, but we are working with Douglas County on a tire recycling, which would probably be a huge event, I'm guessing. But we're continuing to work that. Terry, do you have an update on where that stands with working with them? Or
just the fact that we had a meeting with, the City of Omaha and Douglas County and a few other Keep Omaha people about a month ago in December, and we discussed the possibilities, and I think it was agreed to the City of Omaha was going to submit for a tire recycling grant to DEQ. So we're going to have probably some more meetings to figure out how everything's going to fit together. But it could be a pretty sizable undertaking.
Jim?
I've been doing fire recycling in my neighborhood for 20 years. To the city of Omaha. And they already get grants for that. Be cautious on us trying to share the wealth, so to speak, by contributing our. I mean, it's good cause.
That's part of their neighborhood cleanup.
Their neighborhood cleanup every year, and they award a contract. Public Works does it, and it's working great. Douglas County doesn't have anything to do with it.
Right.
It's just strictly the city of Omaha, but it's one of those. Yeah, they're asking us for money. I wouldn't support it. But if it's grant money, you know, it's grant money.
Yeah,
I don't think
they'd be asking us necessarily for any money. I mean, but more help promoting the event.
We'll track carefully. They control it with, you know, Iowa license plates and all that sort of thing. So they do have kind of a handle on it.
Right, but that event, what they do now with the neighborhood cleanups, for the people outside of Omaha that live in Douglas County, they wouldn't, you know, be able to take their tires. So we honestly may be looking at this partnership down the road with Douglas County.
Okay. That concludes
more on it. Now, don't we rotate between Washington County and Cumming County up in West Point, or how's that work?
That's what we have been doing.
And I believe last year or last summer, Saunders County had a recycling, I believe in Wahoo. But that NRD had a tire recycling last year, too.
They're all very well attended. We break records, I think, every time we have one, just about. So, state records.
I know, for example, Valley had one, but they wouldn't take tires from outside of Valley, which I happen to generate. So.
Don't be tossing them in the river.
Yeah. The river bank now.
That concludes my report.
Thank you, John.
Just kidding, guy.
On a final and brief note, I'm thrilled to hear about the process improvement ideas being generated around here, and hopefully it's something to where there can be a percentage of savings on that. Having worked in that type of work for the last several years and knowing some people that have had a dollar amount stuck over their head if they didn't save, they would lose their job, and then have people that just do it for the benefit of the company, it's wonderful. It'd be a wonderful option if there could be a certain percentage going back to the employees. I think it would be a wonderful way to generate a lot of ideas and to see some real tax savings there. So thank you for coming up with that. And if I can assist with that, I'd be more than happy to do so. Okay. With that, agenda item 15, informational items. Again, the NARD Legislative Conference is in Lincoln on January 26th and 27th, and the next Board of Directors meeting is on February 11th right here at the NRC. With that, we are adjourned.
John, on this electronics thing, be a little cautious if you get into Cap's old TV card, the two-type TV. There's a place to get rid of those three now.
They kind of determine what they take and what they don't take.
Best buy is to take